Great to see you. I thought it would be nice to speak about Pesach, as we are within the 30 days. I thought also it would be interesting to speak about sort of an angle in a sugya that doesn't get spoken about that often. I do think it's an interesting entry point into what is a couple of very fundamental ideas, albeit again from somewhat of a different perspective. And I want to try to develop a couple ideas that I think get to either the core of what challel is like on Pesach night, or perhaps even in the broader sense, some of what Pesach night is really about. But it begins with a very sort of local discussion and a local question that the Rishonim seem to question. And that's as follows. The Mishnah tells us in Pesachim on Kufta Zayin, we know that we say Hallel on Pesach night. One of the fascinating things is that what we call Hallel, when we go through our Kadesh, Orchatz, Karpas, Yachatz, that's actually not the first, you know, exposure we really have to Hallel. We begin with the beginning of Hallel is at the end of Magid. So we sort of have this separation in Machlokas, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, until what part we say, you know, the before and what part we pick up from afterwards. But the structure is, on some level, we're going to say the opening part of Hallel before Magid, and the rest of it we're going to say afterwards in what we call Hallel. And there's a lot of stuff that goes on in between. That's the, you know, we're eating our matzah with korech, having our maror, shulchan orech, the benching. There's a lot of things that take place. And this was, I would say, at least perplexing for different Rishonim. Although it's interesting what questions they were bothered by and what questions they were not bothered by on the Rishonim level. The question that I would have been most bothered by, or say differently, the question I am most bothered by is why we would do this. What exactly is the purpose of separating Hallel, especially given the fact that it's odd. We don't do this. We're very machbed in general not to do this, but also it makes more sense. Once we're going to say it, so say it properly. Presumably, those prakim of Tehillim have some unified thematic idea, which is why, in general, we say Hallel together in this united way. And now we're sort of like breaking it up and dividing it up. It's also not so obvious that these are referring to like two wildly different sections or ideas. Looking through the prakim, you could, again, a suggestion here, a suggestion there, but it seems like we're breaking it up. What would have bothered me most, again, is why we are doing that. That is not the question I think we've been to be Rishonim dealt with the same way. What seems to have been a primary question for Rishonim relates to the question as to, okay, what role does this have for our bracha? Like, what do I do? Because normally I make a bracha Hallel, whether that's a bracha which, again, Ashkenazim make that bracha whenever we say Hallel, whether it's a minug or it's just or it's a chiyav. Sfardim, following the sheet of Rambam, only make that bracha when they're saying it on a chiyuv, but like on a Rosh Chodesh day, which is a minhag, they don't say it. That's why now in the yeshiva, when pretty much whatever nesach you daven, you get to get up and you daven. So one of the interesting things is on Rosh Chodesh sometimes, if it's a Sephardi guy, they're davening Rosh Chodesh, so they'll, like, whichever Ashkenazi guy happens to be next to him will say Hallel and be someone else saying Hallel. It's like the first day of Elozman, and all these guys wondering about these like new minhagim in Israel, where like, think of Wachman said it once, because he davened right next to the Bima, and it's like, oh, I guess like in Israel, their Mechabe, the Rebbeim was saying the Bracha on Hallel, and it's like, yes, they are. You know, that's how we do things here. But Hallel Pesach night, the question is like, what's the deal with the Bracha? And theoretically, there are three possible views about the Bracha. There were those who maintain there should be no Bracha whatsoever on Hallel on Pesach night. That's some of the shitas that are quoted in the Mordechai and Pesachim, some of the shitas that are quoted in the Torah, in Orchaim, and Tzimut Tafai and Gimel, which was to say no bracha at all. Now, that's, I guess, really interesting. It begs the question, which is like, okay, I know why we can't say a bracha, because there's a separation in the middle, but why would we have done it that way? And what does this tell us about the Hallel on Pesach night? It's only this one doesn't have a bracha. And you can't have a sweeping answer, because normally Hallel does have a bracha. So why would it be specifically here? We'd have no bracha whatsoever on this particular Hallel. That's one view in Rishonim, to have no bracha, you know, at all. The Torah has like even a more fascinating thing, which is in many places, which is like Yesh Mekomo Shenoagim Likros Ahalva Beis Hakanesis Betzibor Kedesh Lo Yitzdarchu Levarich LaBashas Agada. That some shuls have the practice to say Hallel at night in shul. Why is saying Hallel at night in shul? Because then we can get like our real Hallel in and make a bracha. And then what? That bracha does what for us? It counts for the Seder later on? Or we just like we were Yotze, our Chi of Hallel at night, like at that point in time? I don't know. It's always like my father-in-law Baal Teshuva, wonderful, great guy. Does not have that many like minhagim that he is very into, but one of them is leaving shul Seder night before that challah. Like, we do not say challah there, like, you know? And I'm thinking, like, and he's ever saying to me once, like, we're going to go now. And at the time, like, first time I was like, I don't know if I have a minhag, like, one way or the other on this one, I guess, you know? Sounds good to me, you know? Like, this is all good. But that's, okay, but that's one practice. The second practice is the sheet of the Ramban. The Ramban in Pesachim has this Kabalti mi Pimori Rebbe Yehuda, Shekibil mi Rab or Yitzlak bar Avram Arzarfati. His Rebbe Yehuda, I think, is the Rebar Yikar. Now, apparently, this is Stam, a fascinating thing, if anyone's interested in like obscure things about Rishonim. There were two Rebar Yikars. One was the Rebbe of Rashi, one was the Rebbe of the Ramban. Rebbe Yaakov Chaim Sofer, who's this like Reshiva Kafachayim in Yerushalayim, who's this like real, very impressive Bakken Rishonim, has pointed out, I think, places where people confused which ones and therefore asked like kashas and stiras. I'm not aware of that many contradictions between Rebar Yakars, to be, you know, fully open. But that is at least like someone that's there. The Ramban says, I was mekabel from my Rebbe, that what do we do? He says that we make a bracha, asher kishan ligmor as a halal, you make a bracha. Sounds to the Ramban that there is one bracha that you are making. One bracha that you're making. That only raises an additional question, which is there's one bracha that you're making, so how can you have one bracha go on something which is going to be a separation in the middle? Thinking about it like as we're like, I don't know, Sefirah Sa'omer time. You know, it's like all these questions about making a bracha on Sefirah Sa'omer if I know I'm not going to be able to count it later on. So in general, we don't love making brachas of mitzvahs that we're not going to be able to fully complete, you know, as it goes on, which by a lot of discussions about Sefirah Sa'omer, each day is its own mitzvah, and therefore it's good, or questions like that. The third view in Rishonim, which also demands some explanation, is quoted by the Tor, where the Tor says that the practice was, one second, the Ritzvah haya mevarich alav shtei pa'amim, achas kodem achila, v'achas achar achila. Two different brachas that you would recite on Hallel, one at the end of Magid, the other one at the end of Hallel. Okay, sorry, beginning of Hallel. That's also fascinating. Happens to be, it's very like Pesach-like. There seem to be a lot of like unnecessary, we shouldn't talk about this, like unnecessary bracha making at the night of the Seder. We do with the Dal Kosos. It's a lot of Hagafens going on, and not a lot of Rishon thought that was appropriate. You know, 1, 2, 3, and 4 Ashkenazim make on all four of those brachas. A lot of Rishon were not so clear as to why we're doing that at all. The second bracha and the fourth bracha, they're so right after the other. It's almost like, I don't know, we're very bracha, like trigger happy when it comes to Pesach night to make lots of brachas, except for when we're not. Like the Kazayas, you know, a Karpas thing is like an Iker in Torah. So being that, I don't know what your Siddharm are like. I don't know my father-in-law's minhag is about that. But I know like people get, you know, it's like a real, like people get very worked up about that. It's an odd one to get so worked up about, although I respect everyone here. But that's, at least we have these three Rishonim. Two brachas, one bracha or no bracha on Hallel, and how that plays out in the contrast in two directions to Hallel generally. Normally Hallel we say all at once, and normally we say it with a bracha. So what exactly is going on, and what exactly is the rationale behind it? So we'll talk about, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 different ideas in terms of why we divide it up, but I think the ideas get to some pretty fundamental and interesting insights. One mahalach, which I think is probably the simplest perspective in a certain sense, is to argue that there are two different halals because we are saying halal for two different things. We're saying halal for two different things. There is a halal that we are reciting earlier in the Seder and a halal that we are reciting later in the Seder. And each one has a particular role. The Levush writes, I think it's just a very, like, I think it's very powerful. They also fits a lot with some of the theme of Seder night. Tam chalukas halal mabnei dechiti halal dekodim asu'udah. That's about Yetzias Mitzrayim. The first part is all Yetzias Mitzrayim focused. We engage in Yetzias Mitzrayim, we see a bracha in Yetzias Mitzrayim, and that is what we do, and that's therefore it gets its own bracha. Avalchati halal ha'acharon, v'gam rov sipurei ha'agada, she'achar ha'su'uda, a lot of what we do post-meal, midabrim b'shar ha'gu'ulos u'gu'ula ha'asida. That's talking about the future geula. Lachen kavo yachar achar ha'su'uda. That, he thinks, is why we say Shemot Hamascha, Dafka, before we go with the second halal. We're talking about a geula and a redemption and dealing with our enemies. But according to Levush, it really is two separate halals, and in a certain sense, it therefore makes sense why there would be perhaps two different brachas. Because each recitation of Hallel is a separate kiyum of Hallel. One of them a kiyum for Yitzit Mitzrayim, the second a kiyum for the Gula Hasida, which I think does also frame the Seder, at least for me. There's the first part, which is more Yitzit Mitzrayim focused, and the end part, which maybe like climaxes a little bit with a Lashon Haba Yerushalayim, which is much more focused on future, and a future Geula, and that I think is at least a minimum, you know, part of it. But that's one Mahalach. And again, the Mahalach is why it's intentional that we dafka divide it up, and what exactly that's all about. That's one perspective. There is a second perspective, which I think is also legitimately, I think it's fascinating. The Maharal part is in Kibbutz Hashem, but the Nitziv's Haggadah Imre Shefer, it's a fantastic Haggadah. The Nitziv, telling to the guys here at Yeshiva, it's like describing for them different kinds of Haggadahs. There's like Haggadahs that give you like halachic background. There are Haggadahs that give you like collections of just nice ideas. Someone came across nice ideas. And then there are Haggadahs, I think the Tzivs Haggadahs in this camp, where you get a little bit of both, but it's like he's developing themes throughout the Haggadah. And if you go through the Haggadah with the Nitziv, it's not like a random collection of like he saw a nice vort somewhere. It's like he's giving you his perspective. And the Nitziv is awesome because he writes in the beginning of the Haggadah like what his perspectives are. So then you just see it in other places. So in the Psicha to the Nitziv.
What are other ones like in that category?
I thought the Aruch HaShulchan was in that category. Also, as far as like certain ideas. Aruch HaShulchan's Haggadah. Yeah, I thought it was in that category a little bit. I think some people who, even like the not real Haggadahs, where they're sort of like, I don't mean made up, but like Lubyansky's Haggadah, like the Maharal Haggadah, we just took Maharals and put it on, I think also developed certain like themes. As opposed to like some of the Haggadahs, which are, again, wonderful and whatever, where, you know, less so. And you have like the Lumdas heavy Haggadahs, like there's, we'll quote a little bit, it's like Brisker's had this like unique capacity to like find Lumdas in, you know, even like their Haggadic vorts are like, it's a certain brand that they're good at sticking to. But that's that. So the Nitziv here develops the idea that a lot of the goal of Seder Night is to frame things in a way that is very much in line with what our Seder was like Bizman Beis HaMikdash. For that reason, says the Nitziv, even though most of us, I don't know what you do, the Taz, you know, is very upset about this, but most of us with a Dabar Shetibulu B'mashka, if I'm eating a grape that happens to be wet, so it sounds like Gemara and Pesach, and I'm supposed to wash the Tiyas Yadayim, maybe it's had a bracha prior to eating a grape that was wet, but that's not the minhag in many places, points out the Nitziv. The Taz goes crazy, you know, why not? How come the only time we do this is Kadesh Orchatz, we wash our hands before we have Karpas. Says the Taz, we've been doing this all the time. So the Nitziv says, no, the reason, the minhag is not to wash hands before we have a fruit or vegetable that's dipped in water or dipped in liquid. The reason why we do it on Seder Night is because that's what we used to do, Bisman that we were knowing on Tumah V'Tahara halachas. That was a time we were extra careful, and a lot of the halachas relate to that. So it says in the Tziv, that's why we wash our hands then. That's why we wear a kittel then. He does not think it's like some achronim do in order to remind us of Yom HaMisa, lest it be too fun a night. You know, that we certainly have in our religion a unique capacity to insert a little bit of morbidity or depression into various simchas. So he says, that's tamua. I have a hard time buying it. That's really the pshat. But rather, he says, part of it's because we're supposed to eat the Karban Pesach on that night. And we eat the Karban Pesach, Rashi and Rambam write, we eat the Karban Pesach, we're eating it Mishulchan Gavoa Kazacha. We're eating it, it's either we're eating it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a certain kind of elevated experience. And because of that, the eating of Kachim was done in a way where you wear different kinds of clothing. It's a different kind of experience. If I go out to a very fancy place, I dress differently than if I do, I'm going out to a falafel store. I just dress differently. And part of that dress is in order to say, the beged fishdan lavan, that's something which would be appropriate for that kind of a kittel, for that extra kind of eating experience of purity. Says the Nitziv, umizeh hatam higu chazal lahaftik be'emtza halal. I think it's actually why we divided up halal. This is awesome. It is not a hefzik, says the Nitziv. Afagav debechol zman shegomez halal asur lahaftiko. In general, we say, you can't speak in the middle of halal, so what are we doing? We're not dividing up halal into two sections. We are integrating the meal as being part and parcel of halal. That halal is the beginning, the meal becomes part of it, and the end is also halal. The goal being, says the Nitziv, that the entire eating experience, the same way the Gemara says, I say in Maseches Pesachim, the Gemara said that we would shecht the Karban Pesach, that we were saying halal. A lot of what we do when we eat the Karban Pesach, there's a halal that takes place part of the goal of the challah isn't just to express something to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's to frame everything we do that night as being elevated and part of the way in which we praise Hashem. So when I sit there and I'm eating food at the Seder, I'm not just having a good meal. The goal, says the Netziv, is to frame that as part of challah also. Part of my hodah and my challah, the fact that I eat matzah, which is remembering and celebrating the experience. Which means, according to the Netziv, which I think is absolutely fascinating, the halal of Pesach night, there is no hefzik. It's all a scam. There's one elongated halal where the meal becomes part and parcel of.
He would say, I think,
one bracha. I mean, the Ramban Shita makes a lot of sense for this because it's all one bracha in the beginning. Yeah. Two brachas is wild. They've been talking about it. It's all one thing. That's what it all really happens to be. Says the Maharal, similarly, and therefore he thinks the meal should look a little bit differently because the meal is part of that halal, a topic about I'm eating, which relates to a certain kind of praise, and the whole conversation is supposed to be integrated. In that sense, it's an amazing thing. Like, the physical food is supposed to be part of the praise and not really hefzik, but now the one bracha makes a lot of sense to the Ramban, I think, in terms of the way that he's going to say. He says that very nice. What's that?
You plan this with Rav Unger?
No, I'm just talking about.
Rav Unger spoke about Brichas HaTorah encompassing the whole day.
Oh, okay. So this is, yeah. The more you hear this, the less the idea becomes original. Like, at some point, you know, like, you're like every bracha is a, you know, like, we want to speak about this in Shir. Like, there's, the Ram writes, there's three kinds of brachas. Brichas HaMitzvah, Brichas HaKodah, and Brichas HaNadin. So we're giving a list of, like, examples of, like, brachas that, like, you know, it's very unique to find in between bracha. And once you're at, like, seven or eight different brachas like that, it's like, this is no longer a, like, you know, a unique phenomenon. Like, this is what it is. But that, at least, is, I think, that is part of it for the Netziv. There is a third idea, which I think is really intriguing. I don't know if I'm going to say it over exactly the way it's classically said over, if it is said over, but I'll tell you the way, at least, that I relate to it. There is this yisod that comes from Rishonim. The yisod that comes from Rishonim, from Rav Haigaon, the Brisker Rav made it, I think, a little bit more well-known. I guess he had that ability sometimes, like if you have enough stature, like you identify the Shita, and he emphasized it, deepened it, and expanded it, which is a fundamental difference between Hallel during the regular year and Hallel on Pesach night. There are a lot of indications that they're very different. In general, Hallel can only be said during the day. We don't say Hallel at night. That's why Yaakov Ariel may in one place have a tshuva about this, about saying Hallel on Yom HaTzmut night, sort of mirroring the Hallel of Pesach night. There's some discussion about that in some of the, I don't know what to do in, you know, by you, here we do not say Hallel at night. We blow shofar, which for me on a personal note is a highlight. I'm always into shofar blowing. But there is there's something there about the Hallel of Pesach night. Normally we don't say it during the day. It's missing from the list of days in the Gemara and Erechin that tell you that you Hallel. And again, it breaks a lot of the rules. That's the fact that there's no, maybe no bracha on it, is also indicative of something. So why is there no bracha on it, and what makes it unique? So there's two ways to go. One way to go is to downplay its significance a lot. That's what it sounds like, at least in the Meiri, in Mordechai. When Mordechai says, yeah, you don't make a bracha on it, because it ain't no ela kikore ba'alma. I don't know what kikore ba'alma means, but I know it's not good. Like, the ain't no ela kikore ba'alma sounds like, as opposed to like hala, which usually is like something, this is just kikore ba'alma. The big question in general, how much halal is like a kriya or a shira? I think if Salvechik pointed out that even in Velazhen, not a location that is known for its singing, that they would sing parts of halal like Hodu Lashem Kito. I mean, very limited parts of halal. We also don't know, and I'm intrigued by this, as to what is called singing. I don't know exactly what it is. I do know, past in Velazhen, since I was here before the Seder, my father, he found in the back of the Velazhen Haggadah the sheet music to the way they sing Chasal Seder Pesach in Velazhen. So he played it in the piano, and he would sing it every year at the Seder. He would sing the thing. It's great. I once said it over to my shir, and there are a couple guys that they're very musical. One of them found the sheet music, and his friend who's here, who's in shir also, plays violin, recorded it. It was like, it was very, it's a beautiful, I mean, it's terrible, Nick. Like, I don't want to overstate. Like, they knew what they were good and what they weren't good at. It was more like it was emotionally something, which was nice. Not much more than that. But, they downplay the challah here. It's ainol kakori ba'alma. You have to say it, but no bracha. It's almost like what a sfari challah Rosh Chodesh is. As far as the lack of bracha, it's indicative of being less significant. That's why there's no bracha at all. However, that's something else, which is that the challah here is a challah not of kori ba'alma or kriya, but a challah of shira. The challah of shira therefore breaks all the rules. But to define shira on some level, it's spontaneous. And on some level, that which is spontaneous, by definition, is a rule breaker. The fact that we say that night is because it's a spontaneous reflection or excitement that we are going through on Pesach night, it wasn't planned. The formal halal is during the day. The spontaneous, experiential, emotional expression, that is something which takes place dafka at night. There's something very, something powerful about the spontaneous song, which breaks a lot of the rules. The mashal that I would give as a ha'ara that I love, with Moshe Wolfson, who's a mashgiach in Torah V'das, it's a very sharp observation, in Az Yashir, so at one point, on the Pasuk of, I think Aziv is in Raska, there's a machlokas, Rashi quotes Targum Unklus, and then he rejects Targum Unklus and says, Targum Unklus, what you're saying is against the Kali HaDikduk, there's no way that's pshat in the song. So Moshe Wolfson explained, what does Targum Unklus hold? Either he had different Kali HaDikduk, or he held spontaneous song doesn't always fit into the normal rules of grammar. They were singing there at Yamsef, and it was a rule breaker. In a certain sense, there was an element of Shira. That may explain the lack of bracha, because spontaneous song doesn't have bracha. Planned spontaneous dancing doesn't exist, and spontaneous song has to just come, automatically in many ways. It's the way that the Chidush HaRim, I think, set pshat in the Pasuk in Koheles, a time to, so most things are ace le, a time to do something, whereas dancing is an ace recode. It's not an ace lyric code, an ace recode. So the Chidush HaRim said, the pshat is that ace recode, it's like spontaneous. You're just dancing. There's no conscious choice to be able to dance. It becomes spontaneous. That's why Minchas Elazar and Tshuvas writes that even though it's usher, he writes to dance on Shabbos, spontaneous dace was never usher on Shabbos. That's an ace recode. Chazal just this is ushered formalized dancing on Shabbos. You can do what you want, with the Minchas Elazar. But the Yisod, so some of the in one of the Brisker Haggadahs, they quote a nice pshat based on this. Lobianski from Lobianski is a brother who lives in Eretz Yisrael who put out a fantastic Haggadah, Shiras Halevim, of Brisker Torah. So there in one of the footnotes, he quotes that some explain, that's why the Hefsek, it's the same idea with the Hefsek also, that the reason why we tolerate the Hefsek is because it's just not that big of a deal, given that it's a Shira. And spontaneous song, we do part of it here and part of it there. The whole tone is different. We sit for this halal, we don't stand for this halal. It's something which is a natural expression of a certain form of joy, and that may be why there's no bracha. In which case, if we just sort of pull things together for a second, I think the three different explanations align with the three shittas in Rishonim that we saw. Those who hold that there are two brachas hold there are two brachas because there are two sections of this. The section of before, Mitzrayim, section of after, Geula HaAsida. Those who hold that there's one bracha, the Ramban, is very Nitziv-like, Mara-like. There's one chalos, and it's all integrated, and it's all wonderful. And the third idea, there is no bracha because it's not about formalized saying of brachas. It's an experience we're trying to recreate, a certain kind of like spontaneity. And given that form of spontaneity, we have to be able to have the two different brachas. Sorry, the lack of a bracha sometimes makes it, somewhat holier. It's like they say this about Shalach Manos, a similar idea. I think from the Sfidei Eish, that sometimes a bracha can detract from the moment. Reyus is different. If I give this to you so we can have a relationship and I make a bracha first, it sounds like I'm doing it because I want to fulfill the mitzvah. And I'm doing it because I want to, have that kind of relationship. And sometimes the same thing with the praising of the Ribbono Shel Olam. If we praise it and it comes off more natural, it's what we're striving to do, then the more powerful it becomes. So insights about, I think, halal on Pesach night, how much it's supposed to be more spontaneous, but I think also insights about Seder night in general. The idea that either there are two separate sections, one Yetzias Mitzrayim, the other, focus further, or there's something in between, I think, of the whole thing is one integrated idea, is something which is very, very powerful. I'll end with just a four, because I quoted my final four. My wife's grandmother, it's Chronel Racha, was a Holocaust survivor. She wrote memoirs at one place, and she quoted something that I'm so fond of. She wrote that, a lot of memory, a lot of discussion about memory, she wrote that it's, whenever we remember, Professor Yerushalmi in Columbia years ago wrote also about Zachar, the role of memory. But she wrote that the way that we remember is always geared towards the future. Memory for just its own sake doesn't have as much value, and that a lot of the memory is that we can frame things going forward. And the fact that we end the Seder with the Son of Habab Yerushalayim is a statement in many ways which frames all of what we're trying to recall and remember. Not something that just was, hopefully something that was, that can move us and allow us to appreciate what, please God, we are striving for and going towards, the Geula Hasida of Lashana Haba Yerushalayim. So hopefully whatever the halal is that we're able to say, you know, with the Zvachim and the Pesachim and everything else, hopefully we'll have the halal the Gemara describes, the Shechitas Karban Pesach, the halal of Pesach night, and we'll all do it well and properly. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you so much. Great job. Thank you for giving us your time.